You are listening to Type Radio. My name is Justus Oehler, and now we are talking.
Hello. This is Sweet 16. Now we're talking.
So what is the criteria to become a pentagram partner?
They are, I don't know whether you call them criteria, but there's a process. It certainly starts, it's certainly the starting point is a personal, is it somebody meeting someone or knowing about someone that he likes. So it starts with a personal contact of a pentagram partner with an outsider. And it's like in any romance, if you want, that you get to know each other, because it's a, because of the culture, it's difficult to bring someone in just like that. Therefore, the process is very rigid, very clever actually, and it's a very slow process, so that you don't rush anything. Because the worst thing would be to have a partner in there who's not happy. It would be terrible for him, because most partners we bring in have a business already, and in order to come in, they have to wind down their business, or you know, change their company name or whatever, or basically close their studios. And once they're in, for us it wouldn't, for the majority of the pentagram partners, it wouldn't be such a big shake-up. But if somebody joined us and then just to find out a year later, look, this is not working, that would be really terrible for that person. And so the process is so slow that both sides can get used to each other. It's to do, look, it's a mixture of, is the guy or the girl nice? Do they do good work? Do they have a business of sorts? And if so, what kind of business is it? You know, do they command a certain income? Do they have a client list? What have they done? It's to do with all that. What is the package, if you want? It sounds terrible, but that's really, what are you as a business and as a person? And if all these different bullet points get a tick, then you're invited, not invited in straight away, then you are introduced to the partners, and then you meet the partners and they talk. Every partner meets you and talks to you, and it's about chemistry then. And if the chemistry isn't right, even if you're a brilliant designer or, you know, whatever, one of the partners might not like you and he would say no. And if it needs to be a unanimous vote. Even if one single partner of the, I think we're now 19, says no, then it's a no.
So if somebody says no, you can't make a further decision. I find that quite amazing.
It is quite amazing. Yeah.
But does that also mean that process is slowed down in that way? Because if there's always one person that... there's one person
that can say that
one. I mean, there could be, you know, that means a lot of, it's hard to make decisions in some way. Is there no leading group or...
No, there is no leading group. It is completely 100% democratic. There is no, your voice needs to be in there, and needs to be a yes if you want that person to be in.
But in other general decisions, I mean, in terms of finances, is it also works like that? That are you?
Yes, pretty much. Pretty much. We meet. That's why we meet twice a year.
Yeah.
We have these international meetings where the partners from the American continent meet with the European partners. And there are 3-4 day meetings, so we get to know each other very well, because it's like, you know, being in a holiday camp. And we talk about everything. We talk about business, we talk about, I mean, we all share the business equally, all of us. So it is a shared, what's the word, verantwortung, responsibility.
But and all, as we understand, what we've read also, that all profits, for example, are shared amongst partners. How do you,
per office? Yeah.
So is there then, does that create issues between partners if there's one good year, one bad year between?
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Of course
does
it
does. Stress that can be extremely stressful, I can imagine.
Extremely stressful.
Yeah.
I mean, it leads to stress is the right word.
Yeah.
It leads to stress on both sides. You know, nobody wants to not bring in the bacon.
Yeah.
Or bring home the bacon. Nobody wants to feed someone else all the time, if you're supposed to be an equal partnership. Ideally, in an ideal world, the system is such that you can have bad years, but then ideally you'd come back and have good years to carry someone else who has a bad year.
Yeah.
that is really the idea, and I think it's, and it's worked, and so far it has worked, and I guess that's why the company is still around, because it has allowed some partners to kind of have very good years and then maybe not worry about not having so good years, because you can, there are a lot of advantages. It's really like a net. It's like a, there's a safety net.
But it is an it is an exception. I mean, as a company structure, I think it is quite amazing that it works like in this particular way.
It is very amazing. I mean, we're sitting here in former East Germany. It wouldn't have been so weird here, 25 years ago or before 1989, sharing equally, however much you make. It is unique.
Yeah.
Maybe not unique, but it's certainly, we don't know of any other design firm that
especially
does that.
In the scale that Pentagram is in, it's very, very unique, I think.
It is. I mean, for example, you can get one office. We don't share between all the partners. The partners per office share, and I'm a London partner, so I share with the London partners. You could have one office being much more profitable than another office. So you even have that. You have differences between the offices. So, for example, one office, a partner or the partner's one office could earn, in theory, 10 times as much as partners of another office.
Yeah.
So it's not an equal partnership in that. It's just that within an office, the idea of sharing helps the partners not to become too greedy within an office. And because you're sitting together in an office and you want all the partners to be busy, you don't want a situation where one partner gets all the jobs and lives in a mansion, and the other one lives in a one-bedroom basement flat, and you call yourselves equal, and you're not. So within an office, living in the same place, you know what your partners are taking home, and you don't need to worry about it. There's no greed, there's no envy. That's basically the advantage of it.
Yeah.
And you become generous. You could say, right now, actually, I'm busy. An inquiry is coming to me. My partner is not busy. I'll ask him if he wants to do it. Which, if you didn't share the profit, you wouldn't, because you said, why do I give him my profit? Or profit, I would keep it for myself.
Yeah.
You would grow your team, and that way the teams also stay at around the same size. It stabilizes us.
Yeah. Are you more of a manager, or do you still do the groundwork? Like, say, you...
Do you design? I mean, do you...
Every day.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yesterday until 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah.
Okay.
But you think it's important? You want to keep on doing that?
That's what Pentagram is about, really. That's why it was set up that way, so that you could. All the owners, we're all designers, we're all architects, or we're all creatives. And it is very demanding, because we are the contact with the client in most cases. We are the guys running the business, so we have to make management decisions. And we also design. Now, obviously we have designers in our teams, and they make, you know, you can't do everything alone, so you have a backup team. But the final, and Lisa will underwrite that, the final say is with the partner. So he, whether he does everything himself or the team does it, and he then sits next to the team and says, do that or try that, or I don't like that, or maybe that one, or even if he says that's brilliant, it would him who has the final word. In my case, I'm very hands-on, and I'm, thank God, I can work on the computer. I can work beautifully with Illustrator and Corp and stuff, because I started as a slave at Pentagram,
as a slave. That's not very motivating for the people that work there.
Well, I was a slave. No, I started as just a simple designer, and that was just when computers started appearing on the scene, and I was too old, really, because had I not been an employee at Pentagram at the time, I probably would have had my own company, and somebody would have discovered the computer for me. That way, I had the opportunity to discover it. And I had to, because they were suddenly, that thing was sitting on my desk. So I'm an autodidact. Is that what you call them?
Yeah.
I taught myself, and I'm pretty good at it, actually, because I was never taught. So everything I do is really fast in weird ways. And what bothers me, I don't use. I know shortcuts. Everything I need to know, I know. And that allows me to design pretty much anything I want. Myself. So I don't need a designer that I would sit next to tell him, try this in red, or can we make that transparent or something.
And do you still like to make corporate identities the most?
Yes. I mean, I like doing everything. It's terrible. I we we don't we don't I don't pigeonhole myself. I love everything. We right now we have a mix of packaging project, corporate identity project, book covers, complete books, you know, inside and outside, identities for small culture. I mean, we do everything. It's lovely, and I wouldn't say that I like one more than the other, but certainly I like what's the word? Glamour is maybe wrong, but I like people seeing what I do. And when you do corporate identities, more people see it. I think that's also part of the success of a company. You need to be able to show what you do. Now, either you do small stuff, you know, for very small clients, and then you have to publish them yourself, or you need to get awards for it, or whatever. Or you say, by the way, we're just driving in front of a car, that's our logo. Or, you know, when you, I walk yeah. around with a client, I say, that's our logo, that's our identity. And it's, I like that aspect of it as well, because that's what we do. We design for the public space. And identities do multiply much quicker than any post or any book
right,
cover.
Right.
And why? How come you decided to move to Berlin and open an office here? I mean, what was the...
After London, it's the only city you can really, you can live in, unless you're old and you like protection and a safe place to live in.
But you could have checked, for example, Frankfurt or...
I know most of the German cities. I haven't lived in them, but I've lived in Stuttgart, I've lived in Munich. I have friends in Frankfurt, in Hamburg, in Cologne. And that's, you know, now we're getting to a point where we've mentioned pretty much all of them. They are provincial. They are provincial. They're small places. They're like a million point two or whatever. And they're not cosmopolitan. They would love to think that they are, but they are not. Coming from London, they're not. And Berlin, when I moved here, in fact, when I decided to move here, was the chaos that I liked. The fact that it was fucked up in a lot of places, and messy and dirty and noisy, and it seemed like nobody cared. And that, for me, that's where things start, a metropolitan feeling starts. It's nothing to do with we have an airport or, you know, whatever.
I mean, so you saw that there were a lot of opportunities here, because there were... It was
work opportunities?
Yeah.
No.
No?
None.
None.
No, I didn't come here for the work. I came here to live and to start an office as a base for...
So you'll stay here?
Who knows?
Do you see yourself moving to yet another city?
With Pentagram, I think that would be difficult.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing is impossible. But I guess I understand and I accept the responsibility of opening a place and saying there is a new office. And since an office cannot run without a partner in it, at least one, I would have to close it down if I want to do that.
Yeah.
As I said, nothing is impossible, but that's not my plan. No, I really like it here. I'm really happy. It's not for the work. There is not that much work in Berlin. Things are changing.
But
though,
you but have there recently. There are a few projects. I thought that they were.
Yeah, we've got.
Here.
Yeah.
So that is quite... Is that something you didn't expect? I mean...
I didn't expect anything. I'm downright positive in pretty much everything I do. I think things have worked out well for me, and they will. And I think if you are positive, that already has something, an effect on other people. You know, if you look... I always thought in my past, whenever I got something, whether I passed a test or I got a job, I usually went in and I felt like I don't really want it. And I think if you have a certain attitude that shows you that you're not desperate, you don't smell of desperate sweat.
Yeah.
You're not like, oh God, I need this job or I'll go bust. If you go in just into a client meeting, into a new prospective business meeting, whatever, and you're just yourself and you relax and say, this is what we do, and you know, we'd love to do this for you, and let us know. I think people sometimes are much more willing to look at what you do and just see, okay, he seems to do good work, he's not overselling himself, so let's give him a try.
Sweet 16. Now we're talking.